Hey, what's up, everybody? Justin Ochoa back with episode 17 of the Gym Sessions podcast. Today, I'm very excited to bring on Tyler Neal. Tyler is the co-founder and one of the co-owners of Run the Show, which is a holistic basketball development company based out of Northeast Ohio and the Pittsburgh area. They are building a brick and mortar facility right now in Cranberry, Pennsylvania, and then also operate out of various locations throughout Pennsylvania and Ohio. They are pretty much doing everything within the basketball community, from development, camps, clinics, events, coaching, and then now obviously building a gym to have that infrastructure. And then also they have a recruiting service as well. So wearing a lot of hats in the basketball community, but doing a lot of amazing things for the athletes in the community. Now, Tyler is a guy that I've known for quite some time now. We actually connected at Kyle Guy's Top 24 camp, where we were both coaches, hit it off, and just stayed in contact ever since. So it was great to kind of have a live catch-up, if you will, with him. You know, we talk pretty much on the reg, but this episode is kind of me just digging into his background, digging in more into what Run the Show is and what it's going to be. Tyler is an amazing basketball mind. He's comes from basketball. It's in his DNA. His dad's been a coach for over 40 years. Tyler went on to play college basketball, then coach college basketball, then coach in the NBA, in the G League, and at the national level as well with our Team USA. So he is a genius when it comes to the game and developing athletes. So now he's passing that information on to us. And it was a great episode, packed full of just gems and lessons that he's learned along the way on his journey and how he kind of got to where he is today. So again, this is Tyler Neal of Run the Show, episode 17. Before I let you get into the episode, I do just want to thank you so much for your continued support to tune into these episodes. If you're new here, make sure you finish up this episode and then go back to any of our previous ones. We have on amazing guests every week, full of knowledge, great conversation, and I'm looking forward to continuing to grow this show for years and years to come. So appreciate y'all for your support. And again, this is episode 17 with Tyler Neal. Ty, what's up, man? Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, great to be on. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. So before I let you introduce yourself, I think I was planning on telling kind of the story of how we met, you know what I mean? So we can fill the listeners in on kind of how this whole thing came together, which I think will feed into your bio. But, you know, I met Ty at Kyle Guy's Top 24 camp that he had here in Indy. And for some reason, Kyle asked me to coach. I don't know, still kind of questioning why he did that. But we were both there, man, and we kind of like hit it off. And I'm like, yo, this dude knows his shit. He's awesome. He's working with the kids, like high energy. And ever since then, man, we just stayed in touch. And I think both of us did one day of that camp. Like, I think both of us had prior commitments. Mm-hmm. But it's always funny, man, when you do camps and stuff, how you just immediately like click with certain coaches or certain people there. And it was like, boom, we were locked in ever since and right. Really like talked too much weekly, man. So yep. I just wanted to commend you on that, man, for just really being awesome, you know, just like a wholesome dude, just authentic and just real. And, you know, I learned from you that weekend from, you know, a couple hours that we spent together. So I'm excited to jump in and figure out what we can learn on this episode.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like, it's always funny how people on the same frequencies find each other, you know, pick people, you know, the other people in the room that kind of have the same purpose as you. So it's, yeah, it was great to kind of, be able to meet you and stay in touch and build kind of our relationship ever since. So shout out Kyle Guy.
Shout out Kyle Guy, man. I got to get him on the show, actually. That'll be a great episode because that dude's got just a crazy background, crazy story. Oh, but yeah. I want to get into you. And, you know, Kyle basically brought us together. Mm-hmm. And I believe you were coaching in the G League, and that's how you met him. But kind of give us the rundown, man, on your basketball journey and your mm-hmm. career and background.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll start from the beginning. I'll try to, you know, not be long-winded. I always say that, and I am long-winded, but, you know, I'll give you the spark notes. So, you know, basketball is in my blood. My dad's been a college coach for over 40 years. In fact, recently he announced he was retiring after this season. He just coached in his last college game. He was the head coach at Bluffton University in Ohio, not Bluffton, Indiana. You Indiana yeah. people always like to try to claim it, but it's actually in Ohio. So he was the head coach there for 34 years. You know, so I grew up in the gym. I grew up around the game. I'd get out of school and walk five blocks down and was in the gym with my dad, with the players, until I was old enough to play. And then, you know, I played for my dad at Bluffton for 4 years. From there, you know, and it's funny, like, I always knew probably I wanted to work in sports, probably basketball, but I was just so concerned about playing. I just wanted to play and be around it. I never thought like, okay, like, do I want to coach? And it really kind of hit me in the face. And I'll be honest with you, like, you know, when I graduated from college, from my undergrad, I was kind of like, what am I going to do? Because truthfully, I was behind the eight ball in understanding the industry. And if it weren't for my dad, you know, again, I would, who knows what would have happened, but long story short, I was lucky enough to get a graduate assistant coaching job at the University of Akron, in Northeast Ohio. I worked for Keith Dambrot, who's now the head coach at Duquesne. I worked for him for 3 years at Akron. My 3 years at Akron are kind of have laid the foundation for everything I've, you know, for what I'm doing now. My three business partners, you know, I met them through my time at Akron, and 10 years later, here we are. So it's pretty interesting. So 3 years at Akron, you know, I always tell the story of my final year at Akron, right? So I was a graduate assistant my third year. I was the video coordinator, making probably $10,000 a year. So, you know, wasn't really taking any money showers or anything like that, right? So, you know, I made it a point to my final year at Akron, right? I knew I had to get something. I had to make something happen. I was turning 26, so I couldn't be on my parents' health insurance anymore. So, in like November, I just started writing handwritten notes every day to anybody in basketball, college coaches, NBA coaches, NBA front office, anybody. And one of the people that got back to me was David Griffin, who at the time was the Cavaliers general manager. That was the same year they ended up winning the title. Well, long story short, he invites me up for a game. 45 minutes before tip-off, I'm sitting in his office at the arena downtown Cleveland. You know, I'm picking his brain. I'm asking him questions. And we just kind of chopped it up. And from there, you know, that sort of led to one thing led to another. And I ended up with a job within the Cavaliers organization, you know, about 9 months later. Was with the Cavaliers organization for 6 total years. Started out intern, video intern with our G League team. At the time was in Canton. Now they're in Cleveland, the Cleveland Charge. Literally did every role for our G League program, from intern all the way up to, I was the interim head coach 2 separate occasions. And then, you know, was just a part of the Cavaliers player development team, summer league staffs. And, you know, the way they have it arranged now is pretty cool, you know? So like my last year and a half, you know, I had a desk in the Cavaliers facility, and, you know, it's a smart thing how they do it is, you know, the G League coaches are just an extension of the NBA staff now. So you're part of everything. You're in the meetings, you're in the workouts, you're in the NBA practices. So, you know, I'm fortunate to have that experience. And it's kind of interesting, like how it all came full circle, like from literally picking every G League player up in my 2006 Pontiac Grand Prix for training camp when it was still the D League to actually coaching in games, being the interim head coach, and to be part of, you know, the Cavaliers practices and their workouts and everything was pretty cool. And in between all of that, I did get some opportunities, spent some time with USA basketball, which was an unbelievable experience. So part of the qualifying windows, the teams that Coach Van Gundy coached, got to be part of those. And then was on the World Cup support staff in 2019, right before the world went crazy. So some really good stuff in the last 10 years. But that's kind of my brief resume as it stands now. And then recently, within the last 8-9 months, along with three other partners and co-founders, I started Run the Show, which is a holistic basketball player development and skills company. Right now we're based out of Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, and then Northeast Ohio, Cleveland, Akron, and Canton. So that's where we stand now.
That's what's up, man. So, no, that's crazy how it all works out. And something you mentioned was like the handwritten letters to all of these contacts, like something to that, you know what I mean? It just shows that extra effort, that extra bit of like hunger. And ultimately, yeah, you're going to get a 100 no's before you get a yes.
Yep.
But then the yes you get, you know that yes, like you're on the same page as that person. You know what I mean? That person valued what you did.
Yeah.
And so talk about kind of like your mindset, you know what I mean, going into the coaching ranks, because obviously you probably had an easy out. You know what I mean? Being that your dad was a head coach, I feel like you probably could have said, I bet you my dad would give me a job, or, you know, I bet you he has connections or something like that. But you decided, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go through it the professional way that anybody else would. And I'm going to earn whatever opportunities I earn, whether it be $10,000 a year or unpaid, picking up guys in my Pontiac Grand Prix or whatever. It's like, I really love that, because there's a time and a place to use your connections and use, you know, some of the, you know, somebody can pave the way for you in a certain scenario, but it sounds like you did not go that route and you really did everything kind of like from the mud and got it yourself. And obviously you had your dad to ask advice from and other connections and stuff like that. But it's like more a story of like persevering through the ranks, like you were just any other candidate.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I'd be lying if I said the fact that my dad was a coach didn't help me get an opportunity. It certainly did. You know, him and Coach Dambrot go back a long way. And, you know, I think, you know, the fact that my dad, you know, is respected and stands for certain things, you know, that allowed me an opportunity. But, you know, you getting your foot in the door is step one, right? The other nine steps are you have to kill it. Like you have to kill it. You have to earn respect. You have to create a network. You know, because I've seen it 100 times, you know, guys get opportunities and they just kind of fizzle out because, you know, they don't kill it. They think they made it. So, yeah, you know, I think like that's something that, I've experienced and just tried to hang my hat on is just do the absolute best job where you are right now while building your network, while still putting yourself out there, and just trust that, you know, good things will come as a byproduct of doing the absolute best job where you're at instead of always looking forward. Because, you know, again, it's like, so it's funny, in my time at Akron, right, each one of the three co-founders of Run the Show, my three business partners, all, you know, significantly influenced and inspired me to do things that allowed me to kind of get some of those jobs that I had. And, you know, like Steve McNeese, who was on staff there, you know, I had no clue what I was doing. I'm not going to lie. I didn't understand the industry. He took me under his wing. He explained, you know, this is how the industry worked. For all I knew, if I wanted to be an assistant coach at Duke, I just sent in my application. I had no clue.
Right.
You know, Brian Weber, who at the time was a GA, was on staff at the University of Miami the year they won the ACC and were number one in the country. Prior to my time at Akron, he was at Akron. I met him through Steve. He has an insane story. Up and quit his job, volunteered for a year at Akron, somehow gets on, didn't take no for an answer, gets on staff at Miami. You know, long story short, he ends up being a Division I associate head coach. So his story inspired me to start networking like crazy. And then Alan Deep, my third partner, who also, I was kind of on my way out at Akron. He was coming in, right? He's a little bit older. He went and worked in the casino industry for a few years out of college. Missed basketball, started helping out workouts at Impact in Vegas, right? Mm. He grew up with Steve. Steve hires him on staff at Akron. And just in the couple of weeks I was around him, you know, he kind of inspired me. Like, he told me, hey, you need to go out to NBA Summer League and network and show, put a face to a name. Because he's been to it. He understood the dynamic of it, how important it was of a networking opportunity. So I did that. And because I went out there, I ended up, you know, getting a job in the NBA with the G League team. So it's just crazy how, again, it's all come full circle. And each of the guys that I work with now on a daily basis, we started a company together 10 yeah. years ago, all inspired me without even knowing it before Run the Show was even a thought. So just that mindset, I think, is, you know, you don't quite know what's going to happen, when's going to happen, but you just got to go about your everyday life believing that you just got to do the right thing, you know, and stay at it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know who's watching, man. Like that's the crazy thing. It's like, you never know who's watching. So you give your best in every scenario, you know, you make wherever you're at the big time situation, mm-hmm. even if it's not your end goal. It's like, you got to do your best there so that people can see your work and the steps above can like value that and say, okay, yeah, that's a person that we want to get on our roster, man. So I love that, dude. That's such a cool story. And like you said, everything is connected. Everything is always, you know, you get your foot in the door, right? But that's not doing it. You know what I mean? You got to still kill it. You could easily get your foot right back out the door just as fast. So sure. I always say recommendations, it might get you an interview or they might get you a conversation, but you have to kill the interview. You have to kill the job. You have to provide value in the scenario, or, you know, that's going to make not just you look bad, but the person that referred you in the first place. You know what I mean? So it's crazy. Like, I just love hearing everybody's background story because, you know, going into this, I didn't even know that. I know a little bit of your background, obviously, from talking, but I didn't know how deep it was, like at the level of, you know, video coordinator, intern, GA, you meet all these guys around, like coming up, mm-hmm. and now you're all in business together. Like, that's super cool.
Yep. Yeah. It's, you know, when young, even, you know, I was an intern with the Cavs G League team. You know, it's just funny. People that are the same age, were the same age as me, are wanting to know, you know, how'd you get that job? What'd you do? You got any advice? And, you know, the biggest advice is like, put yourself out there, meet people, never turn down the opportunity to network. Like, you know, you never know who's going to respond. You know, I've probably been, you know, if I've reached out to 1,000 people over the years, you know, probably 200 to 300 of them have gotten back to me. So, you know, the biggest thing I think you can do, and I know you know it as well, Justin, is just meet people, try to learn from people. You know, because you never know when an opportunity comes around. You never know, like 3 years ago, I never, you know, the fact, you know, if you would have told me I would be running a company and working with younger players on a daily basis, I would have said, hell no, nope. I don't need to talk. I don't, you know, but I'm glad that at least, you know, I still, you know, I wanted to learn from high school coaches. I still wanted to learn from, you know, guys that ran player development facilities, things like that. So, cause you never know, where life takes you. And, you know, so soak it all in, I think, is the message.
100%. So let's talk about, you know, some of just the different experiences that you've had, whether it be now you're working with more high school or I guess prep youth age kids, you've got NBA and G League experience, you've got international experience, you've got college experience. What are some of the major differences, I guess, between all those levels and just lessons learned and experiences that you have noticed over the years?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, it's like, I think when I went from college to the professional game, I got that question a lot, and there was some definite differences. And then even from, I grew up around a Division III college basketball my entire life, played it. Even going from that to Division I mid-major, it was a drastic difference in just the dynamic of everything. Not only on the court, off the court, the business of it is so different. So yeah, it's been interesting to work in all these different levels of basketball and sports and to compare, the differences and similarities. Like, you know, it's funny. I think the more interesting thing is it's still basketball, you know, on the court, certain things that work for sixth graders are still ring true for professionals. You know, so it's definitely an interesting question. I think the biggest difference, like, you know, that I can speak on is from college to professional, you know, it just so much more business. It just feels so much more corporate. You know, you're dealing with, you know, adults, like this is their job. The player, and speaking about the players, you know, it's like, this is their job and this is how they're going to provide and make a living. And so, you know, you go from college where, you know, you're kind of helping young adults, young men mature, develop, understand, you know, how to create a routine, how to, you know, be a professional, go about your everyday like this is your job, right? Being on time, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, hey, what's your grade in this class? Let's talk about this, you know, where, you know, you take that to the professional side of things and it's kind of like there is some of that, but the difference is like in college coaching, you feel like you're with them, you're sort of looking over their shoulder 24 hours a day, looking out for them. And at the professional side, it was a little bit of like, hey, you know, you're here from whatever, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., practice, film, get your work in. Whatever you do outside of that, that's on you. And, you know, we really don't care as long as you're, you know, not affecting your ability to do your job at a high level, go do you. And so that was sort of the biggest difference. And if you're not able to do that, well, at the professional level, like, you know, they're taking your money or they're bringing somebody else in. So that was the interesting part in experiencing all of that and making that jump. And then I just think in general, like, you know, even comparing my experiences growing up around Division III college basketball and playing it or just the business side of things. Like I think Division III basketball is probably like the purest version of the game, right? You literally have a bunch of guys and girls that, you know, they've played their entire lives. They've committed their lives to hoops. They've trained, right? I mean, that's what I did. And now you're literally paying thousands and thousands of dollars to play collegiately. Some more than others, right? There's levels to it, but and it's good hoops. It's really high quality basketball, you know? And so, you know, sometimes you have 18 people at the game. Sometimes, you know, if it's a big game and the students are on campus, yeah, it's a cool experience and there's a good crowd, but it's the purest form of high level basketball, in my opinion. And it's not really a business aside from the business of the institution, you know, making money on tuition, right? You take that to the Division I level, even the mid-major level at Akron that I was at, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, like, hey, dollars and cents play a factor in this, not only in marketing and in making money, coaches making money, players being able to utilize their experience, their playing career at that school to then be able to make money playing professionally. So many variables. It becomes a little bit more, like I said, corporate and businessy. And then obviously the NBA and the professional levels are, that's in theory why they exist. So I think some of that is definitely the biggest differences in all the levels that I've experienced. And it's all interesting. I don't think any of it's bad as long as your purpose is, you know, is wholesome. But it's interesting. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, no, you mentioned something that I was going to bring up too, and that's like the similarities, because there's obviously going to be differences. You know, each level you go up, the severity of how the best at that level approach it is going to set you apart, you know, because let's be real, there's really, really good players at every level that don't take it seriously.
Yep.
Still, even in the NBA, like there's dudes that are just good and that's their job. Just like, you know, somebody might be good at accounting and that's their job. So it's like they don't love it, but that's how I make a living, right? But every level you go up, it's like the severity of how you approach that, that's going to help set you apart. But what I was going to say was going back to Kyle's camp, right? We do a top 24 camp, the best 24 seniors to be coming in, you know, some really good players. I think every single one of them is going to go Division I. If not, you know, somewhere high level D2 or NAIA, but it was like the drills we were doing was the same drills, you know, like at our station, we're catching, we're ripping through, getting to a jab series. We're coming downhill, cross jab, playing off two for a finish. Like that's just basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't have to be special just because you coached in the G League or you coached in the NBA or whatever. It's still just good basketball.
Absolutely.
So speak about some of the, I guess, the principles and the similarities on all of those levels when it comes to just instilling good basketball in this next generation.
Yeah. You know, I think the best teams that I've, you know, seen, been around, coached, played on, you know, the common denominator is, you know, the things that, you know, seem cliche, may seem corny, but, you know, like cohesion, like mature players that can play with each other and that play hard together and that sort of have a common, you know, a common purpose of like, you know, this is how we're going to play. So, you know, all those intangible things, I think first and foremost is like, you know, at every level that I've been around, like that's the most important thing. And then, you know, I think secondly, in terms of actual tangible skills or stuff, you know, on the court, like, you know, like ball movement, right?
Yeah.
Movement in general, you know, teams that move the ball, that move bodies, that have a flow on offense, like that rings true at every level of hoops, right? You know, teams that guard, that buy into, you know, a team defensive system, you know, like if you don't, you know, not too many teams, get through, you know, win at a high level at any level of basketball that don't do those two or three things well. And even break it down further, you know, like you talked about some specifics, like playing on 2 feet, right? You know, And that's something I deal with daily in teaching skills and teaching, you know, playing with the ball in your hand. Better players, better athletes. Yeah, you're going to add in some dynamic footwork, some dynamic finishing, dribble moves, things like that, because you have to, right? The higher levels of hoops you play at, you got to be able to make two or three more dynamic, you know, fancy plays a game than you would in college or that you would have had to in high school. But 80% of the time, the plays that you have to make, right, are they simple basketball plays, right? Land on 2 feet. If you have your finish, raise up, right? If not, right, step through, right? If not, you have your turnaround pivot jumper, just like that whole 2 foot series. If you watch any NBA game, right, Kobe was great at it. Jordan was great at it. LeBron's great at it. You know, any good player in the league has that 2 foot progression. Donovan Mitchell, Tatum, right? You know, So understanding with the dynamic skills, I think, is a big thing. Like, hey, I'm not just coming down tween behind, wrap shift just because. Maybe once every three games, there's a time and a place for it, and it's great if you can make those plays. But understanding, you know, 80% of the time, fundamental, simple, solid plays. Right. I use analogies. Like I always say, hit singles, right? Hit singles. Don't always have to hit home runs, hit singles. And so I think, you know, that just rings true at every level of hoops. And, you know, the more I'm around it, right, the more, I continue to believe it.
Yeah. So we're coming off All-Star weekend, right? And the All-Star game is getting a lot of scrutiny because of just the quality of what that game was this year. It was bad, but I don't think that's necessarily not how it's always been. I mean, I know in the past they've competed hard for the second half, but I think today's game, because of social media, gets scrutinized more publicly.
Yeah,
like. Just the other day, there was a thread. I think it was. I don't remember the Twitter that put it out, but it was like a Steve Francis appreciation thread because it was his birthday. And there was a possession where Troy Hudson was guarding him, and anybody can YouTube Troy Hudson, Steve Francis. You'll pull up the exact clip.
Yep.
But he's getting drug out there. Like it's like it looks like. The meme that they made of the All-Star game this past weekend, where it's literally two guys on one side of the floor, 18 seconds out of the 24. The other six were bringing the ball up.
Yep.
And he's dragging them out there, and it's one-on-one. And Ketino Mobley, like, is on the left wing, and he like, sighs and puts his hands on his knees because he's like, I know I'm not getting the ball. Like, Steve is about to go to work. So people forget, like, ISO ball has been around forever.
Yep.
It's not going anywhere. But I guess my point is, like, where do you see the state of the, I guess, the NBA today, and how is that affecting now who you're working with at the high school level?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I go back and forth, you know, especially, another topic that's sort of topic of scrutinization right now with professional athletes is load management, guys sitting. I understand both sides of it. Like, you know, it's easy to scrutinize on the outside looking in for obvious reasons. And there's a lot of valid points. The biggest thing, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, is, you know, get some context for what you're looking at, right? I'm guilty of it. And so to answer your question, I think we are sort of prisoners of the moment quite a bit in terms of it's easy to harp on these guys that are playing. And, you know, when the gameplay is bad, it's stagnant, it's ISO. Like, let's be honest, the All-Star game – the other night was not very good. It was a bad brand of basketball. You know, but again, have some context, like, right. You know, understand, like, you know, the rest of the league, you know, they get 5 or 6 days off to chill, go on a trip, be with their family. Those guys don't. It's a grind. Now, look, they're taken care of. They're making all that money. That's the other side of it. But, you know, it's probably not that big of a deal at the end of the day. However, you know, I do think it's important to still at the same time, you know, still be a model of the way basketball should be played. But also, you know, look, like, you know, it's not like your kids watching that game, it's going to affect their entire perspective on basketball, right? So, and I do think, you know, given the day and age that we live in with the social media, you know, it's easier to make it seem like, you know, hey, this is just happening now. You know, it's happened. It's been a thing. You know, I think, what was it, 2 years ago, the 2020 All-Star game was really good, really competitive. The gameplay, you know, in the fourth quarter was high level execution, ball movement, guarding concepts. So yeah, it's easy to be a prisoner of the moment and to scrutinize, you know. I'd love to see the last 8 minutes be competitive and be right. High level hoops. But you know, it is what it is. So, and I do think, you know, a lot of the players and the coaches are self-aware, right? You don't get to that level if you're not. So I think going forward, they'll understand it and understand that, you know, it's something the fans appreciate. And, you know, I think they take pride in what they do. So I don't think it's something that, you know, we need to worry about too much going forward. I think it'll take care of itself, but definitely interesting. Like, you know, the probably more than we realize once every 4 or 5 years was like it was a couple nights ago, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man, you can't please everybody. Like, you're never going to please everybody. So just to your point, like load management, right? So basically, if you look at the All-Stars, give or take, it's the best players in the league, right? Yeah. There's probably some snubs in there,
yeah,
but it's the best players in the league. Those guys are the main ones load managing. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the guys that are, for the most part, all on playoff contention teams who need to be healthy in April and May and hopefully into June. So these are your prime candidates for load management throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're asking them to play in a meaningless game that doesn't get them closer to their goal of winning a championship, doesn't earn them like a substantial amount of money like for that game.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I totally understand why they may not be that motivated to play hard in it. You know what I'm saying?
But, absolutely. I mean,
and to your point, in 2020, it was phenomenal. And there was a huge focus, if you will, because that was after Kobe passed.
Correct.
And they said, you know, this is basically the Kobe Memorial. Correct. Like, we're naming the MVP after Kobe. I just think that meant something.
Sure.
And because it was so close to that happening, it was very real. Now we're a couple years past that and it doesn't hit as hard, you know, like they still want to win that trophy, but man, Kobe had just passed and now we're out here competing for his trophy. So there's a lot of factors, like you said, that go into it. But at the end of the day, like you and I, we don't got to worry about it. Like it's all good. Like, it's just a weekend out of a whole year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's complicated. You know, it's like, as fans, as people that care about the game, would you rather, you know, those guys play hard, play, you know, compete as hard as they can for 8 minutes in an All-Star game, or risk not having them for 3 or 4 more years, you know, and to be able to enjoy them more so at the tail end of their career. So things to think about, all things to think about.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is here in Indy next year. So
that's right.
It's already starting to, like, people in Indy, nobody hates on Indy more than people who have nothing going on in Indy.
Yeah.
So, like, we're known as, like, a venue that does events really well. Like, mm-hmm. our Super Bowl, it went down as the best Super Bowls ever. Men's and women's Final Four, Big Ten football and basketball every year, tons of conventions. So we get the All-Star game, and people are like, you know, oh, you know, it's not going to be fun. Like, there's nothing to do. It's like, just watch. Like, it's going to be insane. It's a production. Like, the things that go on behind the scenes, like, it's nuts. But but anyway, yeah, here we go on rant one. Let me reel it back in, try to get you back on basketball.
No, I agree. I've been to on that point, and then we can move on, right? So I grew up, like, just about every year I would go to the Final Four with my dad, wherever it was. And, you know, our favorite place to go was Indy, because it was, you know, it's a great city. It's easy to get around. They do a great job. So I've always thought that, you know, so I think they'll do a phenomenal job with the All-Star game.
Yeah, and all we need is just a decent game,
yeah,
a dunk contest that doesn't suck, you know, and, like, if we just get any type of, like, you know, one or two events that pop, like, that's what people will remember, and I think it'll be all good. So
yeah, they'll get something going at Tiki Bob's, and I'll be good.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm not there. We'll just say that.
Yeah, I'm staying out of that.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, you know, we've talked about Run the Show a little bit.
Yep.
But I want to ask you more about kind of what your plans are for that. You know, what the vision is, what the goals are, and kind of where you guys are now along that process.
Sure, yeah. So like I kind of said earlier, you know, Run the Show, right? So just to lay the foundation of it all, obviously, myself, I have three partners, two that coached at the Division I college level for 10 plus years. Steve and Brian were both Division I assistants. Brian was a Division I associate head coach. Steve played professionally, played in two NCAA tournaments as a player. So much experience at the college level. And then our other partner, Alan, you know, like I said, deep ties to USA basketball, was actually an assistant coach for the national team for qualifiers, World Cup stuff, and then spent 5 years at the professional ranks. You know, I think 2 years within the Boston Celtics organization, and then most recently was the associate head coach for the Knicks G League team. So that's our team, right? We all four started it together. The timing of it was perfect. We were all kind of at a point in our careers and our lives where we have young families, and, you know, for different reasons, it all made sense to come together, at the same point in time here. So right now we're operating Western PA. Like I said, we are actually opening our own facility, the Run the Show Hoop Club. It'll be in Cranberry, Pennsylvania, about 20 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. And then we also operate, that'll open, right now we're slated for early May to open our doors. So, you know, if I was better with my hands and more handy, I would have been able to speed that process up, but I'm not. I grew up in a gym, so only so much we can do about, you know, the people that are working on the gym. So, shooting for early May. And then while that's going on, you know, we have our in-house offerings programming in Northeast Ohio that sort of mirrors that of which we're doing in Pennsylvania. So I have a gym in the Akron area that we operate out of on a weekly basis. We have a gym in Cleveland that we operate out of on a weekly basis. And just our weekly in-house player development, skills training, you know, we work with you know, over 100 different athletes of all ages in each respective area. And so that's kind of the meat and potatoes that will always be there. You know, our goal is to, step two would be to bring, the same facility to Cleveland or Akron. And so that's kind of our vision and see where it goes from there. Aside from the, you know, the in-house programming, you know, we have some big partnerships with other basketball entities or groups. We have a exclusive partnership with the Hoop Group, which I think a lot of people are familiar with now, a huge basketball organization based out of New Jersey. You know, everybody on the East Coast knows about them. You know, guys like Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, you know, guys that all came up, grew up going to their events, going to their camps, playing in their tournaments. So, you know, it's an East Coast kind of a pretty special thing on the East Coast. So we're partnered with them. We're going to be kind of doing a lot of their specialty player development skills things. So future All-American camp, the Poconos camps, a lot of their elite camps, right? We're tasked with the player development, the on-the-court aspect of all of those. So very exciting for us to attach our name to theirs. You know, we're working on a digital program with Made Hoops, another big basketball entity, you know, that'll be coming out here in the first few weeks of March. We have some good featured players that'll be in that, right? We're working with a couple large AAU clubs, right, in Pennsylvania and in Ohio, providing our services to them, you know, at a larger scale, you know, being able to reach more players, more young players that way. So, you know, we kind of have a broad vision, you know, anything basketball we're doing, you know, we're learning a lot. Right. So we also have a scouting service. We run and operate the Hoop Herald. So if you follow the Hoop Herald on Twitter, you know, that's us as well. We service around 50 Division I teams right now with our scouting service. And then our Hoop Herald is a basketball media entity that, you know, helps young players promote themselves, get their names out there, helps them get recruited, be seen, tell their stories. So, you know, again, anything basketball, we're doing it. And, you know, I think some other things will come to fruition here soon as well. But that's kind of the gist of it right now. You know, we've learned a lot so far. I think some of the ideas and the grand visions we had a year ago, stuff that we thought was were really good ideas, are not good ideas anymore. So it's funny. And I'm sure you've experienced this as well, Justin. I call you probably once every 10 days asking you advice, you know, what's your experience in dealing with this? What's your experience with that? And so, you know, that's the challenging part, but also the fun part at the same time is kind of looking back, seeing how your company has grown and will continue to grow based on your, you know, your successes and then the tribulations or your trials rather, you know, what you've learned from. So that's run the show.
That's dope, man. No, something that just came to mind. I would be disappointed in myself if I didn't shout out Carl Jacobson, because he came to mind when you said Cleveland and you know, he also played a role in bringing us together as well. So
no doubt.
Gotta give him a quick shout out real quick, because I know he's doing some stuff with you guys on the strength conditioning side. And that's just a good dude. And I think when he saw us together at that camp, some light bulbs went off for him as well. But great dude, man. Like, what are some things so far that you've learned? Like, man, I could probably write a book on all the shit that I did wrong when it came to opening a facility and doing that stuff. Yep. And I know you guys are still in the beginning phases, kind of like, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's not on you. You know what I mean? You're not putting the floor in. You're not putting the lights in. You're not putting the plumbing in. So I've been there, and it sucks because you're on other people's time, but it's on your dime. And it's like, man, if I just could do all this myself, we'd be up and running. What are some of the, you know, the lumps that you guys have taken along the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's a loaded question. You know, it's just, I think the biggest thing is just not knowing what you don't know, you know. You know, I think about kind of when we, you know, last summer, late spring, summer, when we truly came together. I mean, we had kind of planned a lot of this and met, you know, virtually, a lot of Zooms leading up to last summer. But when we actually started doing stuff in the gym together, you know, it was like we had an idea. We knew, you know, what we wanted it to turn into. But what are the steps to get there? And honestly, mm-hmm. our biggest goal, you know, and it still is, like, if we can get in the gym with people, like they're going to believe in us. Like, you know, if I can get anybody in the gym, if our team as a whole can get any player or group of players or team or parent in the gym and see what we do, they'll believe in us. And so, you know, early on, it was, we were just trying to get people in the gym and kind of show our value and show how we can truly help young players get better and grow and put a plan in place. So, you know, the biggest thing I think we've learned since the beginning of last summer is efficient ways to do that, right?
Right.
You know, and you know, again, a lot of it's been throwing mud at the wall. What was throwing mud at the wall early on and see what would stick. But, you know, in the other side of it too, Justin, is, you know, not now it's not just basketball, right? It's the other factors, you know, the overhead costs, the margins, right? The, you know, you have so X number of hours a week that you can work and, you know, you have to be efficient. You have to be efficient with that time and not it working smart. You have to work smarter, not harder, but still working as hard as you can, if that makes any sense at all. So, you know, I don't think there's been like one specific like thing that it's like, wow, like that was hard. It's all been hard. And especially kind of jumping off a cliff, you know, you go from kind of having that paycheck, you're conditioned to every 2 weeks, I got a paycheck to now you got to make it happen. You have to make it happen. And, you know, so all that put together, it's been challenging and, you know, it's been nerve wracking, but, you know, we've kind of gotten in a groove and just figured out like, hey, we know a lot of things that work. We know what a lot of things that don't work. And what's worth our time, what's not worth our time. We're still learning. We're still going to have some of that. But I think to an extent, we've got a lot of that figured out. Now it's just kind of being patient and letting it all materialize as we put those efficient resources and tools into action.
Right. No, so in terms of like Run the Show, when you guys get the official building open and you guys are rocking and rolling, are you guys looking to continue your operations in Ohio, like whether it be at like existing facilities, locations, like high schools and stuff like that? Are you going to try to morph everything up to that building that, you know, that's basically your hub now? Like, I don't know the geography, so I don't know if that like makes sense to do or not.
Yeah. So you're saying funnel everything to the one facility?
Yeah, like I don't know how close they are or if it's like a situation.
Good question. To an extent. So in Western Pennsylvania, yes, you're correct. Like everything we do in Western Pennsylvania, for the most part, will be funneled to our facility. Now, for some of the bigger groups and other basketball groups that we service, you know, we will still go to them to an extent. And then, you know, geographically, right? So where I operate out of in Northeast Ohio, we're about an hour and a half, an hour 45 away from that facility in Pittsburgh. So no, like that's too far. We will not you know, mm-hmm. we will, like I said, our goal is to have that same hub then in the next handful of years here in Ohio that we can sort of filter everything to as well. You're correct in saying that.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, so in the meantime, where are you going to be? You going to be kind of floating back and forth, or are you staying in Ohio? Like, what does that look like for you personally?
Yeah. So we will keep, for the most part, I will be in Northeast Ohio, Cleveland and Akron. I live in Cleveland with my wife. So, keep Northeast Ohio rolling and keep growing it, keep building it. You know, obviously I'll shoot over to the facility when I can. And, we'll have some special events, some exclusive mini camps or things that we'll do in our facility that we'll promote that'll be really high level, you know, all things like that I will be at. Just staying here in Ohio and kind of mirroring our programming over there and continue to build it up to a point where we can put a facility here.
Dude, that'd be sick. That would be dope, man. Having two operating, that's the dream right there.
So
that's the dream.
And that's been one of our strengths, Justin, is like, you know, I couldn't imagine doing this alone, right?
Yeah.
So you got three, I have three other killers with me. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in this together. Strength in numbers, you know, I'm good at certain things. Steve's great at certain things that I'm not, you know, all the way around. So that's the beauty, and that's been the strength and the backbone of all this coming together.
Makes sense. So last question before we get into the hot seat, I want to ask, like, if there are any, you know, major goals that you guys for sure have, well, that you're willing to share, at least in terms of, like, do you want to get into, you know, pre-draft training? Do you want to, like, tap into the AAU world? Is there anything on your radar that you guys are like, yo, when we get this place going, like, this is what we're trying to target?
Yeah, no, I mean, great question. It's like, I think right now our grand visions were just to be to, you know, our sort of facility, our hoop club model, you know, just try to take that to as many places as we can. And, you know, obviously we're in Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Akron, but, you know, in a perfect world, I'd love to be able to take that, you know, across the country, you know, and I think we will at some point. It's just, you know, again, it's interesting how, as you continue to kind of go through the weeds and experience everything, you know, you figure out niches and what's where the opportunities are. So yeah, I think it's like, if that could happen, you know, and you were to tell us, hey, we'll be in five or six states. Yeah, that'd be amazing. But it's more so, I guess, about as we continue to learn and grow, like, what are our opportunities and what are we going to figure out next as an opportunity? So yeah, I think I'd be lying to you if I said, you know, we didn't want to continue to grow and take that model as many places as we can.
That's dope, man. I'm looking forward to watching the journey, man, and just seeing how you guys grow it. And shoot, when you guys get up and running, I'm gonna pull up for sure. It's not that bad of a drive, so.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll get you over here.
Yeah, man. So last thing before I let you go, I want to put you in the hot seat. It's just some random ass questions. Just first thing that comes to mind. And most of it is just nonsense. So don't feel like you have to go too crazy on the answer. All right. So first question, do you believe in ghosts?
Good question. You know, I have to say I do to an extent. Like, I believe there is, I don't know if they're ghosts necessarily. You know, I'm pretty technical, like, person, so I'd have to have a definition. I believe in the idea that there is something along those lines. Yes. Spirits, whatever you want to call them. Yes.
Yeah. All right. What's your dream car?
Dream car. You know what? This may sound a little crazy, but I love the vintage, old school, refurbished Broncos. Like a cherry red or a black, you know, 90.
Can't do it. Like
a 1990 black on black, vintage, refurbished, roof gone Bronco. I think that'd be pretty dope.
Those are dope. That's a good one. All right. What's your number one fear?
Oof. Number one fear. Man. Nothing like really just pops to mind. So I guess that's a good thing. But
yeah.
I don't like just being alone, I guess. Like, I like being around people, you know, being close to people, you know, being close to family and just experiencing things and meeting new people. So I guess if I had to say something clear and cut, I would say just like being alone, you know?
Yeah, that would absolutely suck. Like, just being alone for an extended period of time is never fun.
No.
Unless you're like Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that.
Yeah, I like me time, you know? Like I need a couple nights a week where, you know, I can like just go brain dead for a few hours, but not longer than that.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to do like some type of 7-day darkness retreat where he just alone in a dark room for 7 days or something. I'm not good with that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, what he comes up with after that. So I'm on the lookout.
Can't wait. All right. Mount Rushmore of basketball players, and I'll give you the asterisks on this. This is your favorite, your personal preference, and I'll defend you if you miss out on putting whoever's GOAT is on there because it's not your favorite player. So these are your four favorite players, your Mount Rushmore.
Okay. So like, this is not a GOAT route, Mount Rushmore. This is my.
Yeah, this is your.
I liked Mount. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, look, like when I was younger and I grew up and really started to play like competitively, I wore number 3 because of AI. You know, Iverson, I had his shoes. He was a smaller player. I was a smaller guard. Just liked his toughness, you know, his edge. You know, so I got to have Iverson on there. Growing up, he was probably my favorite player. You know, I think my dad's favorite player has always been Larry Bird. And I think, you know, kind of just watching back on some of the stuff he did as a player and his edge and his competitiveness and just the legend. That's why they call him Larry Legend. So I got to have Larry Bird on there. You know, Jordan, I mean, I won't lie to you. I'm a Jordan guy. You know, when I was growing up, it was the Bulls, it was Jordan. I would play the Bulls starting lineup theme music, every morning before I would come downstairs to eat breakfast. True story. So Jordan's on there. So I got Iverson, Larry Bird, Jordan. Man, this last one is hard because I can go one of two ways. I can go kid, picking as a kid growing up and falling in love with the game, or I could pick now knowing what I know. So I think the last person on my Mount Rushmore, you know, I gotta put LeBron on there because I was in Cleveland the night that the Cavs won the title, right? And that's a night I'll never forget, just being in the streets and seeing the pandemonium and just knowing what it meant to Ohio, to Cleveland, to Northeast Ohio. To win that, LeBron's definitely got to be on there for me.
Love it. Now that I did the same thing. I was on a podcast and they asked me similar question and I was like, all right, are we talking favorites or are we talking like goats? And so mine was similar. You know, it's like you're struggling with the nostalgia and like why you love the game. And like for me, I went all in on that. I was like, it was AI, Kobe, MJ, and Vince Carter was my fourth. And then that fourth, I was going like Vince Carter or LeBron, because I love LeBron so much. Like, don't get me wrong, like, love the guy. But we were just in that mode where I'm like, yo, these are the four guys that made me fall in love with basketball.
Sure.
And LeBron is closer to my age. You know what I mean? Like, we're like peers, where these guys are like my idols.
I know.
And so, yeah, I went the same route, man. But it was like, it was tough, that last spot, because there's just like, you can't even put a number or a description on how valuable LeBron is to the game of basketball. Like, it's nuts.
Done, bro. And it's like, even if you, whatever, if you're an MJ guy, like, you know, it's still, it's like, in my era, my generation, like, LeBron's the best. And he, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So my other, the last spot, the debate was Kobe or LeBron, because like, there was a point in my time where like Kobe was my favorite player too. So that's a tough one. Great question.
That's tough, man. That's a solid four, though. I love that. It's a very it's hard to come up with four better players to shape your life and your game than those four guys. So, all right. Speaking of nostalgia, what is the best hoop shoe? You know, it's probably not one. Well, maybe it is one from today, but I tend to think the older ones are much better. But what's your go-to hoop shoe?
So. You know, so it's funny, like, I just bought the all black Jordan 13 playoff release that just came out. You know, growing up, and it, like, again, man, like, basketball is just such, it shaped my entire life. Like, so I remember when I was in first grade when the 13s, like, came out, were released originally, and we were at Finish Line, and the cherry reds were out, right? And then the French blues were getting released in like a week, right? So I could get the cherry reds right there, take them home, wear them to school the next day, or the French blues, which I actually, in the moment, I wanted the French blues. But I had to wait. They were going to get shipped to me in like a week. And I was like, no, I got to wear these things out of here. So the cherry red Jordan 13s hold a special place in my heart. And then the other one that comes to mind would be the Iverson.
With the zipper. Bro.
With the zipper. The cushion on the inside.
Yes, right? Man.
Man, can't beat them. So. Those two.
That's crazy that you said that, because again, I'm stealing. I like to steal from podcasts that I'll go on. You know what I mean? But I was on a podcast. They asked me the same question. Boom. I said, I think they're called The Answers.
The Answers. Yes. Yes.
With the honeycomb, his first one was the question. The question. And I think it came out and it had the quarter zip, you know, the little like it was just like a look. Little wave on the side with the Iverson 3 logo.
Yeah.
Bro, those are fire. I need to get a pair of those.
I've been looking up. I need to get a pair.
Those are fire. All right, a couple more. We got three more. What's the worst advice you've ever been given?
Oh, boy. Worst advice. you know, I think. Again, it's probably a good thing that nothing comes to mind, because I let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, I think just, you know, I think we've all worked with those people that kind of downplay things and downplay, you know, attention to detail, caring, like, you know, oh, that doesn't matter. Let that go. I don't have a specific example, but, you know, just trusting my gut and in those situations and, you know, doing what I thought was best. I think, I guess the worst advice I got was to when people have tried to influence me to go against, you know, what I believe or what I stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense.
It's like any advice that goes against like your gut intuition is probably not great advice.
So, my dad, you know, has always had a sign in his office. It says, here's to gut feelings and those who believe in them. So that's something that just like always sticks with me. And he haunts me, you know, cause, I was, you know, he's not an easy guy to please sometimes. So,
hey, no coach really is.
Yeah. High standards.
Last two. What is the most overrated movie of all time?
Most overrated movie, man, it's I think a lot of these newer movies are overrated, you know? So like to me, that doesn't really go with what I'm about to say, but I've never been able to get into Star Wars. There's people that wait outside for days to see the new one, and I just think they're the dumbest people on earth. I don't get it.
Thank you. Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
I don't get it.
I cannot do it. I've tried.
I don't get it.
I can't. And to that point, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I've tried. It's not for me.
Not for me. Nope.
All right. Last question, man. You're about to go on. Let's paint a picture. All right. Let's say you're a pro athlete. You're in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
Game 7 of the finals. You're pregame. You got the AirPods in. You're trying to get right. What song are you playing on repeat for that moment?
Oh man. You know what I'm playing? Is the He Got Game track with the old Buffalo Springfield song instrumentals that they rap over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? He Got Game. I think it was
But I do know what you're talking about.
What was Flavor Flav's group? Yes. So it's them, the He Got Game track.
Bro. I'm gonna have to put that like in the background.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. And because then any Lil Wayne. Like I can rock with any Lil Wayne. So
yeah, for sure.
I got one Flavor Flav story. I've actually coached a game in front of Flavor Flav. So his nephew played in the G League. I can't remember the kid's name, the guy's name. Anyway. He came to watch, so I got a little Flavor Flav story in my background.
Dude, that's dope, man. Hey, he's a unforgettable character right there, man.
Definitely.
Unforgettable character. Before I let you go, I want to, you know, just give you the opportunity to tell the people where they can find you, where they can find out more about Run the Show, and just any notable drops that you want to give us.
Yeah, so first and foremost, like, you know, follow Run the Show on Instagram. So it's at runtheshow.us. That's our tag. Definitely follow the Hoop Herald on Twitter. It's at the Hoop Herald, just like it sounds. A lot of great content, X's and O's, player development, you know, mixtape, just anything basketball. Great follow. And then me personally, I post a lot of my stuff on Instagram. So get ready for it. My tag's a little funny. It's at 2E5. So that's TEEWY 5. Long story to that. I won't get into it, but that's where you can find us.
Yes, sir. We'll do a part two. We'll get that story behind the scenes. But hey, man, I appreciate you jumping on here.
Absolutely.
Chopping it up with you, man. It's always good to catch up with you. And, looking forward to seeing how Run the Show grows, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We're grinding away and we're excited. And, you know, it's been great to follow you and to see your business grow and all the great things you do for athletes at all ages. And appreciate you having me on.
And that was episode 17 with my guy, Tyler Neal. Such a great dude doing great things in the basketball community. It was great to catch up with him and really get to know more about Run the Show and what they've got going on. So what I want you guys to do before I let you go is whatever platform you're listening to this on, make sure you leave Tyler 5 stars, great feedback, share it with somebody, subscribe to the channel. If you like what you hear, we're having great episodes every week. And don't forget to, you know, hit the archives. We got some fire in the archives. I know we're only 17 episodes deep, but we've got some truly amazing guests that have been on here, including Tyler and all the guests before him. So I would really, really appreciate if you guys could leave him some feedback so he knows how much of an impact he made through this episode, and go check out some of our older stuff so you can get to know some of the previous guests. So again, this is episode 17 with Tyler Neal of Run the Show. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch y'all next week.